We've been looking at our series entitled Our God Is. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at some of the attributes of God. And just to kind of remind you, I know that you can all read very well, but I want to remind you, the title of this message in these series is not Our God Does. Now, we talk about in the series, and we have, about the things that God does. And I understand that. But remember, the title of this message, the title of the series is Our God Is. Not only does God do the things that we have talked about, not only is he great, not only does he do great and mighty things, not only does he do great and mighty acts of love, but he literally is these things. And unfortunately, I feel like in the church today, we spend a lot of time talking about us. And I am thrilled and excited to be able to take some time over the next several weeks and talk about who the Lord is. Because I think the more we know him, the more we're going to love him, the more we understand who he is, the greater desire we have to serve him, and all of these things. And this morning, we're going to look at an attribute of God that sometimes we can miss. But I think at the same time, it's so important. And I think in a lot of ways, this is going to be hopefully one of these messages that brings a lot of people a lot of freedom. Because a lot of times we kind of can miss one of these types of things. Not because we try to, it's just kind of naturally sometimes can happen. So this morning, what we're going to look at is simply this. Our God is provision. Our God is provision. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for this time, this opportunity to be together. Father, I pray that you would just open our hearts, open our minds to what your Holy Spirit desires to say. God, again, the words that I say are just not going to be adequate. But God, when you take the words and you use them, God, you do great and mighty things because that's who you are. And so, God, that's what we ask. God, we ask that I cease and you increase in this moment. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God, our God, is provision. What do I mean by that is a lot of things. But in a lot of ways, what I want us to understand is our God is a provider. He provides for his kids. And it's interesting because sometimes we can forget that. We can focus in on the love of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God and all these things. And listen, we will and we have and we're going to continue. But for some of us, sometimes we struggle with the concept of God is a provider. And when I say God provides for us, I mean he provides for our spiritual needs, our emotional needs, our physical needs, our financial needs. Any need you have, God is willing and able to be a provider for you in that area of your life. But the thing I think we need to look at is simply giving you a definition of what that looks like so that you understand the biblical concept of provider. Because when we look at the scriptures and stuff this afternoon or this morning, we need to understand the biblical understanding so we get it. So it's simply this. In the Bible, provision refers to God supplying the needs of his people, including both physical sustenance and spiritual nourishment. It also connects to God's name, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. I remember when I was younger, we used to sing that song. Some of you remember the song, Jehovah Jireh. And I remember singing it. It was one of the first like Hebrew names of God that I ever learned as a child because we sang about it in my church. And I remember thinking about that. God is my provider. God provides for the needs that I have. In a lot of ways, provision is kind of tangles itself up in this idea of supply. That God wants to supply all of your needs. He wants to be that individual that you go to and run to when you have a lack in your heart and in your life. And I think it's interesting here. But before we really get into this, I really thought we should stop for just a second and first of all, look at the test of provision. You say, Aaron, what do you mean? What is this test about provision? Well, here's the deal. When it comes to provision, in a lot of ways, a lot of individuals have misinterpreted what the scripture talks to us and shares to us about God's provision for us. Basically, if this makes it simple, in some cases, people have kind of turned God into either Santa Claus or the genie in the bottle. And so when I need something or I want something, I basically go and I grab the magic lamp, if it were, and I rub the magic lamp, and then God appears, and God does my bidding. God does what I want. God meets the needs that I want God to meet. He meets the wants that I have. And quite simply, that is not the God of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am so glad it's not. And to make sure that we understand that and we don't misinterpret who God really is, God has actually placed tests when it comes to the provision that he brings in our lives. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's an awesome thing, because here's the deal. I'm going to be real honest with you. There's been times where I have passed the test with flying colors, and there's times where I got a big old fat F. And maybe you find yourself sometimes in that same place too. And so before we jump into really looking deeply, as we have in the past, about this attribute of God being a provider, we need to look at the test of provision. And one of the great examples of this test comes from the man of a guy named Abraham. We talked about him in week one. We talked about how Abraham was basically this individual in the book of Genesis that basically God comes to and says, listen, I want you to leave your home, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a land that I'll tell you where to go. Basically, God says, go, and I'll tell you when you get there. And Abraham does something to me that's mind-blowing. He does it. He just says, okay, God, no problem. Leaves his family, leaves everything, and he goes off to find a place that God basically takes him to. And God blesses him. God provides for him in really a major, major way. In fact, when we kind of see the story in this particular area, he is extremely wealthy. So God has blessed him. God's taken care of him. God has really, if you look at the story of Abraham, Abraham's not perfect. He does some really kind of crazy things. But God blesses him anyway because he's obedient. He's faithful. It's a beautiful story. But Abraham comes to God basically and says, God, I really appreciate all that you've done, but listen, I don't have an heir. I don't have anybody to leave all this stuff to. Abraham wants to leave a legacy, and basically he says, I can't leave a legacy because who's going to get the stuff that you've blessed me with, basically? Who's going to follow me following you is what he's communicating. And God says, come outside. I love this. He says, come outside. Get out of the tent that you're in. Get out of the mindset that you're in. Go outside. So Abraham goes outside, and God says, see all the stars? He says, that's going to be your descendants. He says, that's going to be your descendants. Makes a promise to him and shares something with him. And basically, Scripture says that Abraham does something absolutely wacky. He believes God. Sometimes in our hearts, we can hear God's voice, but we don't always believe. Abraham heard and he believed, and that's extremely important. And God says, listen, you are going to have a son. In Genesis 21, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. We kind of pick up kind of the story in that particular point because it takes a little bit of time. But this is what it says. Verse number 1, the Lord kept his word. I love that. Underline that. If you underline stuff in your Bible, you highlight it, please do that. And when you ever have a moment where you're kind of like, oh, I just don't know, go back to this. The Lord kept his word. And the Lord, listen, the Lord always keeps his word. Amen. Always. And did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. Scripture tells us Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. This was a supernatural event. This happened, and I love this, this happened at just the time God said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? And so Abraham has this little boy. I mean, the pride of his life. I mean, loves little Isaac. Isaac's growing. All these things are happening. And he's excited. And then God speaks again. And here's where the test begins to take place. In Genesis 22, verses 1 through 2, this is what it says. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. He says, take your son, check this out, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. You see, it's interesting here because in a lot of ways, Isaac was a perfect example of God's provision. And now God says, I want him back. Now, I cannot imagine. Like, I think, like, you know, it's like, okay, you have to be a father in some ways, and a mom too. I'm talking to me personally. Like, you got to be a dad to start to have this, like, okay. And then you have to have a son or a child, and then, like, I'm going, okay, God, no way. I'm just going to be honest. I wish I could say, absolutely, I would have the faith. I don't know if I could do this. Even if God showed up and said, Aaron, I'd say, God, you got the wrong Aaron. You got the wrong number. I'm sorry. I've always told you I'd be honest with you. But the Bible tells us literally, Abraham gets up the very next morning. And he takes Isaac to the mountain. Scripture is so vivid in this story. I love it. Listen, if you don't understand, you got to have a love for God's word. And if you don't, you need to ask the Lord to give it to you. Because it's just so unbelievable, this story. He takes Isaac and he goes to the mountain. And in this moment, and we don't know exactly how old Isaac is, but listen, if you see pictures and Isaac's like 8, probably not. He's probably in possibly his late teens, maybe even his 20s. He's not a little child, just knowing by the language in the Hebrew. It's crazy. And in this moment, Isaac looks at his dad and says, listen, I see the knife, I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Nope. And he looks at his son, he says, check it. He says, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. Bible says he takes him, he places his son, binds him, puts him on the altar, goes as far as raising the knife. And then we pick up the story in Genesis 22. Look at verses 13. I jumped ahead. I'm sorry. Hold on one second. Em, can you go to 2013 and then 14 and then jump back? It's my fault. Can we go to, there you go. Thank you. I'm sorry. So here's what it says. Abraham looked up. No, let me stop there. I'm sorry. Go back. It's one of those days. You don't have the God will provide? It's okay. It's all right. I messed up. It's not your fault. So I messed up. So here's the deal. Let's stop there and we'll just kind of go back. Not that I ever leave you in a sense of awe anyway. So, but he basically says, I want this son back. So now let's jump into the notes for just a second. Listen to what it says. It says, God will provide. But every time he provides, he will test you with that provision. The test is one question. Here's the test. What do you want more? The provision of God or the God of provision? That's the test. That is the test that basically God is bringing Abraham to when he says, I want Isaac back. Now, let me kind of help you see that test sometimes in our own life, because thankfully God has not doing this. But sometimes we'll say, okay, God, I need a new job. God, I need maybe a little more money. I need a raise. I need a little bit more here or whatever. And God brings that provision to your life. And then God says, oh, that's great. Listen, I want the first 10%. Right? God does this. He says, listen, I'm going to give you 7 days. Isn't that wonderful? 7 days. But listen, I want one back. I want one back. One day is mine. You see, when God blesses and God provides, God always asks it back. And so Abraham is willing to do this. Now let's jump into Genesis 22. 13 through 14, because he raises that knife, he's getting ready, and basically angel comes and says, don't do this, stop, stop, stop. And this is what it says in verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The question when it comes to provision in your life is simply this, and we talked about it. When God provides, are you willing to lay it down? Wow. Which do you rather have? Because here's the deal. A lot of us, we'd rather have the provision. A lot of us want to live a life of comfort and ease. And sometimes the provision of God can bring that to our lives. And quite honestly, we'd rather have that than God himself. We kind of put God over here on the shelf until we need him to provide something for us. instead of actually allowing the God that provides to be what we need and what we desire. In that story of Isaac and Abraham, in a lot of ways, Abraham basically said this: God, I'd rather have you than my own son. And you go, boy, that's something. I don't know about that. I don't know. That's a pretty tall order. And then you realize that our Father God did the exact same thing for you and for me. He was willing to lay down his son for you. Some theologians, some scholars actually think, we don't know 100%, I'm just going to be honest with you, some think that the mountain that Isaac was going to be sacrificed on eventually became the one that Jesus was sacrificed on. The Lord will provide. And if the Lord will provide Jesus for you and for me, we can know and be assured that he can provide all of our needs. But let's look at this a little more deeply together this morning. Let's look at the provision of God in the Bible. Let's start with the idea of creation. Isn't creation wonderful? I mean, here's the deal, and I tell people this all the time. This creation that is so awesome and so beautiful and in so many ways, you know, there's the perfect amount of oxygen and nitrogen, and I don't know science, but you know what I mean? I mean, all these amazing things. It's not too far from the sun. It's not too close to the sun. It's all the perfect things of creation, and you know what? It's flawed and it's broken. Sin broke our world. But yet, at the same time, even in its brokenness, it provides all that we need. Some of you are experiencing somewhat a very small way of that now. You know why? Because it's getting to be harvest time. I mean, my wife has out in the backyard some Lowe's buckets. And guess what's in those Lowe's buckets? Tomato plants. And she'll go outside before dinner. You know what she'll do? She'll go pick a tomato. And I get to eat some of those tomatoes. She's got other things too, but who cares? She's got tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes. Put a little salt on those suckers, and oh my goodness. And you know what? You know what's amazing about that? Started as a seed. She put it in the dirt. Well, no, she didn't, but it came in as a little plant. You know what I mean? And basically, she watered it. And then here's the deal. She didn't stand out there and form tomatoes out of the dirt. God did. God in his creation. And remember in the creation story, basically there are already things growing. God's already provided in creation. He's provided in the things that, like okay, everybody take it. Everybody, we're going to real scientific here. I love this. You ready? Everybody, we're going real scientific this morning. I want everybody to do this with me. You've been doing it, but just do it with me once. Ready? We're going to take a deep breath. And then we're going to let it out. On three. One, two, three. What a miracle of God. He provided ways that we could breathe. And listen, I don't know how all this works, oxygen and all the things in the atmosphere and all these things, but God does, and God made it perfect. And he provided for needs that you have through his creation. Not only that, but there's a story. Remember this story, the manna in the wilderness? Remember this? God frees his people from Egypt, and they go off, and basically they cross the Red Sea, and they're out in the middle of this wilderness, and they're kind of in a weird state. You know, it's like there's a lot of people, first of all, and there's not a lot of food. And so basically God says, listen, I'm gonna basically rain down bread from heaven. The people call it manna. And God says, listen, here's what I want you to do. Every morning, except the Sabbath, you're going to wake up, you're going to go outside, and on the ground, you're going to find this stuff. He said, collect only what you need for that day. It's where we kind of get this idea when Jesus prays later about God giving us our daily bread. Okay? God says, listen, if you get more than you need, it'll spoil in your house. Be nasty. And so some people do. They go out there, man, and they start gathering these frosted flakes. That's what I like to call them. Scripture tells us a little bit about them, kind of honey-ish flavored. And they get all these things. Well, there's certain guys and gals, man, they go out and, boy, they get enough. Oh, I mean, maybe God won't provide tomorrow. Maybe God won't bring it tomorrow. There's only one day God said to get 2 days' worth, and that was the day before the Sabbath. And then by a miracle, that didn't go bad, by the way. So they do. They grab enough maybe for more than they need. They bring it home. They eat what they want. They go to bed. They wake up the next morning, and it's disgusting. Maggots and all sorts of nasty stuff in it. And God says, listen, will you trust me every single day to give you what you need? I will provide for you every single day if you'll trust me. And God met that need by feeding them in the wilderness. How about another one in the New Testament, the feeding, we talked about this last week, the feeding of the 5,000. I love this story, man. Little boy with his sack lunch. Some mom thought ahead, which is not weird at all, very normal, and said, hey, this little boy's going off. I got to make sure he's got a sack lunch. They're sitting there. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and doing all these things, and basically their people are hungry, man. The disciples go to Jesus and say, man, what are we going to feed these people? Jesus said, you feed them. He said, what do we got? Got some loaves and some fish from a little boy's sack lunch. Jesus says, tell the people to sit down. Bring it to me. He begins to pray, and God begins to multiply. And all of a sudden, it says that at the end of that, 5,000 men plus women plus children, some people think it was many as 15,000, maybe even 20,000 people, ate till they were full. Do you get that? Some of us read that story, we've seen it in Sunday school or on a flannel board, and we don't understand how important that little tidbit is. That God doesn't come to us and says, listen, I'm just going to barely give you what you need. I'm going to just give you enough to survive. He says, I will give it to you until you are full up. And there were 12 baskets left over. That's the type of provider that our God is. But yet we live a life of scarcity in understanding that because we think we have to do it, that God can't do it, that God's not big enough to do it. When God gives us example after example after example. How about the woman with the issue of blood? Remember this story? She's ceremonially unclean because she's having problems with her menstrual cycle. And the Bible says that she's gone to doctors. She's spent all her money. She's dealt with it for 12 years. Can you imagine? Some of you can completely imagine because you suffer from things not like that necessarily, but from physical issues in your body. And she gets to the place where she understands there's only one true provider. You know what? We talk about this all the time. When it comes to, you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, you fill out all the silly forms. They're not silly, but you get what I mean. And you know what always will say on there? Who is your provider? And you put Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Cigna, whatever it might be. This woman finally understood something that is important for all of us to get. There's only one true provider, and his name is Jesus. And she thought to herself, if I could just grab the hem of his garment. I don't need to, I just got to get close to him. Scripture says that she reaches out, and she grabs the hem of his garment, and Jesus feels the power leave him a little bit. I always would, like, Jesus kind of go like one of these, like ooh. You know, like, did he just, like, stop? I mean, I don't know. He's felt it. And then he asked this unbelievable question because there's crowds all around him. Who touched me? Who touched me? She falls down at his feet. She knows, because here's the deal. And we got to understand the culture at the time. She now knows that in her world, in her culture, in her understanding of religion, that by touching Jesus, her uncleanliness would make whoever she touched unclean. And so she's scared to death. She's like, I have made the rabbi unclean. Listen, every single one of us, when we reach out to Jesus, are unclean. And what makes Jesus Jesus is the fact that when we reach out and touch him, the fact that his cleanliness actually transfers to us, not the other way around. And she gets down, I'm sorry, Lord, I did it. And he goes, you don't have to apologize to me. He said, your faith has made you well. And God in that moment, Jesus in that moment provided provision for a woman physically, but ultimately the greatest example of the provision of God, we kind of even saw it alluded to in Genesis, is the cross and the empty tomb. I love that story of Isaac, not just because of Isaac and Abraham, but because there was a ram that God provided for the sacrifice. And just like it was your job and my job to die for our sin, he provided Jesus for you and for me. And that obviously leads us into this concept of the provision of God in our lives. Not just in Scripture, but how does God provide for you and me? In the book of Philippians, the 12th chapter, we're going to look at this. Paul is writing to the church there, and this is what he says basically in Philippians 4, 12 through 15, and then we're going to look at verse 19. It says this: I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Okay? I have learned the secret of living in every situation. I know I've told you this already, but underline that. Because here's the deal. You go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Amazon, and there will be people that will try to sell you a book for $29.99 trying to tell you what the secret of life is. And here's what's funny. Save your money. In fact, use that, buy a new Bible, because it's in there, isn't it? This is what Paul says. I found the secret of life. In every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty, with its plenty or little. And this is the secret. You ready? Here's the secret. Write it down. Pay attention, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. There's the secret of life. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, he says, even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Go on to verse 15. There it is. And you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. And now we jump to verse 19. And the same God, okay? The same God. The same God we've been talking about in Scripture. The same God that healed the woman with the issue of blood, the same God that fed the 5,000, the same God that created and spoke the world into existence and the universe and the stars and everything that we see, that same God will supply all your needs, provision from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Secret. The provision that God has for you and for me is not because we are so wonderful. It's because he is so wonderful. And because of what he has done for us. Look at Psalms 23, one of the most popular portions of Scripture. Obviously, probably the most popular psalm in all of Scripture. Psalm 23, 1, this is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. You see, David in this is proving he's passed the provision test. Because David had a lot of things. Sometimes he did, and other times he had nothing. He was on the run, trying to save his own skin from King Saul. And other times, he was living in the palace. But David still wrote the same thing. Because I have the Lord, because he's my shepherd, I have everything that I need. Here's the deal. I want to give you some tools and help us to understand this a little bit more. Because again, this can be a little misunderstood. This can be taken advantage of by certain individuals, some in the pew and some in the pulpit. And I want to help us understand really what the provision God kind of looks like and how we can help position ourselves to experience that together. And to do that, we're simply going to look at the word together of provision. We're going to look at the word provision and to help us understand that. So we're going to break down the word in two sections, okay? This is in your notes and obviously be on the screen as well. We're going to break this down into two sections. We're going to look at the first section, which is the word pro, and then we're going to look at the second section, which is obviously the word vision, to help us to apply this into our lives moving forward. So when I say pro, what do I mean? What does that word mean for us this morning? Pro is basically what you are for, okay? If you are pro a sports team or pro life or pro this or pro that, you're basically saying you are for it, right? Okay? Some of you are pro the Avalanche. And so because of that, you root for the Colorado Avalanche or you're pro this or you're pro that, okay? So that's the first idea. It's what you are for. Vision is what you are pursuing and saying yes to. Okay? So pro means basically this is what you're for, and basically vision is what you are for or what you are saying yes to. Okay? Everybody understand that? Everybody get that? So, that obviously will bring you and me to a simple question. Okay, fine. I get the idea of pro. I get the idea of vision. Well, biblically then, what should we be pursuing and what should we be saying yes to? Okay? It's an obvious question, simple question. It's in your notes. What is the vision we should be pursuing and saying yes to? Simple. God Himself, God's kingdom, and His kingdom plans. What should we be for? What should we be pursuing? God Himself, God's kingdom, and His kingdom plans. That is what our vision and desire should be. In a nutshell, in a large 30,000-foot view, if that'll make sense. You see, a lot of us are pro-vision, but our vision is wrong. Our vision is not God Himself. It's me, myself. And that's where we get pro-vision out of whack. Because instead of saying, God, most that I want, what I need, what I am for is You and what You desire to do in me and through me in this world. A lot of us say, I am pro a new car. I am pro a new job. I am pro a new spouse. I am pro some new kiddos. I am pro this or pro that. And then we look at God and say, okay, God, get with my program. And then we get mad because then we say, well, God isn't a provider. Your vision's wrong. A lot of this name it and claim it nonsense, and I'm going to use that word because I can't use a stronger one, is exactly that. God, You get with my program. Listen, as far as I understand this book, and it's real clear, my Lord and my Savior is not myself. And when I say my Lord, it means that I am under His authority. It's not what I want, it's what He wants. And is it hard? Absolutely, it's hard. We're going to look at this in just a minute, a little more depth. But at the same time, we have to understand what the vision is. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is truly, what is our vision? What is our vision? Matthew 6:33, really famous verse, use it all the time. Important that we catch it. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and then check it out. And He will give you everything you need. You know, we love as pastors to make things sometimes so confusing. And I'll tell you, here's a little secret. You know why we do that? Because it makes us feel smart and special. It makes us feel like we should be on the stage and you should be down there. That's real simple. Is it easy to do? Absolutely not. Is it real simple? Absolutely. Seek God, Himself, His kingdom plans. Live the right way. Follow His guidance. Follow His laws. Follow Him. And He basically says, listen, you do those things, you'll have everything you need. Everything. Everything you need. But here's the deal. And what's amazing about that understanding is this, and you need to get this morning. When we are pro-God and follow His vision, provision will follow us. You see, a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to do things to bring forth the provision of God in our lives. And all we do is we spin our wheels in the mud in a lot of ways. But when we are pro-God and follow His vision, provision literally follows us. You get that? God's literally trying to free some of you this morning up a little bit because we think it's what we do and how we work and how hard a worker we are and how smart we are. And listen, being a hard worker is awesome. Being smart's great. But the bottom line is this, when we follow Him and follow His plans and follow Him Himself, literally provision will follow us along the way. Psalm 23, what's it say? Goodness and mercy will follow me. We spend a lot of time chasing after the things, listen, that are ours in Christ Jesus if we'll just follow Him. So, with that in mind, let's look at some more deeper application. What are some ways that we allow provision to follow us? What are some ways that we allow provision to follow us? And to do that, to see that, I kind of started talking a little bit about Psalms 23. We're going to use Psalms 23. It won't necessarily be up there through the end of the message, but I've kind of taken snippets out of it to help us see some ways that provision can follow us. Most of us know Psalm 23. If you'd like to have it obviously in front of you, please feel free to do that with your scripture. But here's the deal. Using Psalm 23, what are some ways that we allow provision to follow us? Number one, provision follows posture. Provision follows posture. In Psalm 23, it says something, this throughout. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me and he guides me." Listen, if you want provision to follow you, your posture has to be correct. And a lot of times, our posture isn't correct, okay? We see here that God, basically David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," okay? So that means something that we need to understand, okay? If David is saying, "The Lord is the shepherd, we are the sheep." Now, some of you go, "Okay, well, that's not so bad. I don't mind being a sheep," until you really understand a little bit more about sheep. Sheep are helpless. Sheep have absolutely no form of defense. Sheep are dumb. I'm sorry to let you know. And listen, I'm a sheep too, okay? But here's the deal. Listen, my grandfather, he had cows. And you know what he didn't have? He didn't have a cow herder. He didn't. He literally said, "Be in the pasture here." And he would leave them, and they were fine. They survived fine. But sheep, they need a shepherd. Why? Because sheep wander off. Sheep will go off a cliff. I'm not joking. Sheep need a shepherd. But here's the problem when it comes to posture for a lot of us. We are convinced we don't need a shepherd. We are convinced that we can do it all on our own. If I work hard enough, if I'm smart enough, if I have the right connections, if I do this, if I do that, if I exercise enough, if I work, whatever it is. And listen, here's the deal. Here's just the bottom line. If you don't want the Lord to be your shepherd, he won't force you to. If you want to take care of it all on your own, he'll let you. And maybe you're different from me, but I tell you this. When I try to do it all on my own, it blows up in my face every single time. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it'll blow up at some point. You know why? Because I'm a sheep, and I don't know a lot. You see, you don't have to admit that you're a sheep, but I will be more than happy to admit that I'm a sheep. I don't understand hardly anything. I need a shepherd to lead me and guide me and help me. Why? Because I'll be honest, I don't even know what I'm having for lunch this afternoon. You really think that I am capable of understanding what God has for me and my life? I don't know, maybe tomorrow? You think that I am such a wonderful pastor that I don't need the Lord? You're crazy. I need him. I have to have him. And so what that does to me is not puff me up and go, "Man, I got this." It makes me go, "Good Lord, I can't do this without you. And I'm so thankful that you're my shepherd. And because you're my shepherd, I have all that I need." You see, some of us struggle with provision because we struggle with posture. Bottom line. Because we won't admit that we can't do it on our own. You see, listen, this is important. Again, this is going to bring some freedom to some people. Some of us have listened to the lie from the pit of hell, and that's where it came from. This says we're strong enough, we're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like us. Now listen, people may like you. You may be smarter than most. But to accomplish and experience the true provision of God, we have to bring ourselves to be humble and look to the God who is the God of provision. You say, "Aaron, I don't know about that. I don't know if I believe that, really." You see, here's the thing about the God of provision versus what you provide for yourself. You may be really, really, really good at providing for yourself financially. But here's the deal. You could go to the doctor tomorrow and find out you can't provide for yourself provision physically. Hope that never happens. But I think all of us are smart enough, wise enough, and been around the block enough to know that that happens to a lot of people. Scripture even talks about it. Jesus talks about a parable of a man who basically loads all of his barns up. Man, he's got his barns full, basically, Jesus says. He's got everything he needs. And so he goes back to his whole house. He puts his feet up, his arms behind his back, and said, yep, we're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to be merry because we are good to go. Goes to sleep that night. Oh, he's doing great. And he dies. And God says, good thing you got your barns full. Your heart wasn't ready. Your soul wasn't ready. You see, when God says, I want to provide for you, he wants to provide everything for you. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever you got, God wants to provide for. And here's what I've learned in my life. I may be a good provider in certain areas in my life, but number one, I'll never provide as good as God, and I'll never provide in the wholeness that God provides. And he has that for you and for me. So it starts with posture. Number two, provision follows proximity. Provision follows proximity. Psalm 23, you are close beside me. Goodness and mercy, they follow me. So I've been thinking about this. What do I mean by proximity? Now, obviously, I think what that means is we see in Scripture a lot where Jesus says, you need to abide in me. You need to be close to me. Don't separate yourself from me. And I think that is an important part, not just of provision, but just the way God asks us to live our lives. We get to come boldly into God's presence. And listen, we need to remember that was a steep price for you and I to gain admittance into that. It was Jesus. And so when I say provision follows proximity, I want to give you a little bit of an example to help you understand, okay? So you're going to have to picture this with me. I even thought about grabbing someone and going back to one of the doors, but then we'd have to move the camera and it'd just be a pain. So we're just not going to do it, okay? I thought about using these doors, but then it wouldn't, so you're going to have to use your imaginations and pretend here that I have a door. It can be as lovely as you like or as plain as you like. It's totally up to you. You can use your imagination. And let's say I am at the door, and I'm going to walk into the door. I walk down the aisle, and I come to the door, and I open the door, and guess what? I turn around, and there behind me is you. Very close, maybe, like a step or two behind me. Now, if I am a gentleman and a very nice guy, which I try to be, I would do something like this. I would open the door for you, right? Okay, you go to Walmart today, you go to Target, you go to King Supers. It doesn't happen very often anymore because the doors are, But if they're not, you go to maybe a small restaurant or something this afternoon, a lot of us will hold the door for someone that's close, right? It's a nice thing to do. We'll open the door for them. But how many of you would do this? You come to the same door. Okay? Maybe instead of here at church, even though we're kind of using this as an example, we're using our imaginations, we're at King Supers. And you are there and you go to the door and you're getting ready to open the door and you look back and there at the very, very back of the parking lot, you see someone get out of their car. None of us would keep the door open for them and wait for them to walk all the way to the door before it's opened. A lot of us have that view of God. We say, God, open the door. And God says, it is, but you are all the way at the back of the parking lot. You want God to open doors? Get close. And here's also what's beautiful about this analogy, okay? Because some of you come to me and I've told you, I'm not sure God's will. What do I do here? What do I do? Those sort of things. And sometimes I'll say, listen, sometimes we need to be willing to walk through the doors. Some of us struggle with walking through the doors. But here's what's beautiful about walking close to the Lord. Let's say that door is open, or let's say that door is closed and you want to open the door. If God is not near your door, you're going to walk through without any issue. But let's say you're close and you reach to open the door and God says, stop. That's not the door I have you to walk through. Come over here. Come over here. I want you to walk through this door. Some of us walk through the doors that we're not supposed to because we're not in proximity to the God who loves us to stop us from walking through it. And then when we do, we go back to God and say, God, how could you? Come on, let's be honest. God, how could you? Provision follows proximity. Listen, hear me here. It is not the shepherd's job to stay close to the sheep. It's the sheep's job to stay close to the shepherd. You say, well, Aaron, isn't it the job? No. Remember the story Jesus tells about the lost sheep? There was 99 that stayed close. There was one that went away. What's so great about the provision of God is this. Even when at times we run away, the shepherd won't go in and find us. But it is our job to stay close to the shepherd. It's our job to spend time in the Word. It's our job to spend time in prayer. It's our job to spend time with God's people. That is our job, and God will do His when we stay in proximity to Him. Number three, last one. Provision follows persistence. Provision follows persistence. Psalm 23 again, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So many scriptures that Jesus talks about knocking and the door will be open. There's a story that Jesus tells about a persistent widow who basically bothers the judge or the authority constantly until basically he says, I don't care. I've had enough. Just do whatever she wants just to shut her up, basically. These are the examples that he gives us. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. He says, if you will knock, the door will be open to you. But some of us do this. God provide, I'm going to wait 1, Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, Mississippi and $100,000. God, how could you? God, I had a bad doctor's report. God, I really need you to heal me. 1, Mississippi, 2, Mississippi, 3, Mississippi. Well, God, obviously, you don't have the power to heal. God, my heart hurts. I'm broken. God, I need you to make this hurt and this pain go away. 1, Mississippi, 2, Mississippi, 3, Mississippi. Obviously, God, you don't love me. Listen. There is power in perseverance. There is provision in persistency. And listen, I truly believe this with everything in me. God could do all those things within 1 Mississippi. When he doesn't, it's not because he's upset with you. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he has a better plan to help you grow in a deeper way. Sometimes God will say, listen, it's going to take some time. Listen, I've told this story before, but I can't think of a better one. And please understand, this has a wonderful ending, but it was hard in the moment. Emily and I dated for a little while, and we broke up. And here's the deal. I've teased her and others and basically said, you know, oh, she broke my heart and all these sort of things. You know what the truth is? I needed to grow up. And I would say probably she had a little bit of growing up to do, but I had a lot of growing up to do. I wasn't ready, and I thought I was, and I was just heartbroken, and I tried to win her back, and that didn't work, and I mean, it was just a mess, and I remember very distinctly, you know, God has not spoken to me audibly more than just 2 times in my life, and this was one of them. And it was a Friday night. We had youth at Friday night, and I came home, and I was just spent, and I'm in my room, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm just crying. I'm just broken. you know, I'm kind of going through one of those things. God, I'm here. I am a youth pastor, and I can't find anybody to want to even be my girlfriend. I mean, I'm going through all the pity party nonsense, you know, that none of you have done, you know. And I'm just broken. And in that moment, God spoke. Literally, it scared me half to death. And then it brought a peace like I've almost never experienced before in my life. And this is what This is what God said to me. He said, "You're going to be together, but you have to be patient. You're going to be together, but you have to be patient." And in that moment, God's peace came in a way. And here's the deal. I could have given up after that multiple times. But I said, "No, God, you will provide. God, you will. I trust what you say, even though the circumstances don't make it look this way." And here's what's crazy. A month or so after that, she said, "Listen, I'm moving to Kansas City for a while. I'm going to do an internship." I said, "Okay. Oh, that's fine. When are you coming back?" "I'll be back in November." "All right, good deal. We'll see you in November." God said, "She's coming back. God said, I have to be patient." I'm being patient. November comes around. I give her a phone call. "Hey, when are you coming back?" She says, "I'm not." "Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean you're not coming back?" "I'm moving with the ministry, I think, to Alabama." "No." I remember I hung up the phone. I was just like, you know what rang in my ears? "You're going to be together, but you have to be patient." Now, did I kind of start to move on? I kind of did. I said, "All right, well, if she doesn't want to be with me, then that's, you know, obviously she don't hear God's voice, you know." But it was persistence. It was prayer. It was going, "God, you have someone for me, and you will provide her." And oh, good Lord, did he. But I didn't give up. Some of you are right on the edge and you're going, I'm ready to give up. And I'm here to tell you, don't give up. God will provide. But he'll do it in the right timing and in the right moment. Let him do it in his timing. Because I tell you right now, if it had been up to me and it had been my timing, she wouldn't be back there right now. I guarantee it. Because I'd have blown it up. I'd have ruined everything. Without a doubt. It had to happen in God's timing. And so I had to trust God's timing, but I was persistent. I kept bringing it to the Lord. I kept trusting the Lord. I kept believing the promises of the Lord, and he provided. And listen, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. We've got to keep our posture right. We have to stay in close proximity to the Lord. And we never give up because we know his promises are yes and amen. Let's close by looking at Philippians 4. We'll go back to the book of Philippians here. Looked at it a little bit earlier, but let's look at Philippians 4. We're going to look at verses 6 through 7. Here's what it says, because some of you really need to take this and apply it. Don't worry about anything. Anything. You know, there are times in Scripture where God will use these words that I was told as a person in school to never use. Always, everything, things like that. You know why? Because I couldn't provide those things. And I love that God uses absolutes because he can do it. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. He invites us to do that. He invites us to say, God, I need you to provide for me in this area. I need you to provide for me in that area. I know God knows, but he still says, come, bring your needs to me. And then you thank him for all that he's done. Now, let's stop there for a second. Let's because that kind of seemed counterintuitive. Because basically we're saying, God, I don't have, and now I'm thanking you for what I do have. Exactly. Why? Because we can look back at what God has done and know if he does it, then he'll do it now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's a way for us to remind ourselves if God was faithful, then he'll be faithful now. So we thank him for all that he's done. Then, look at verse 7. Then, You see, some of us want to get verse 7 and remove verse 6. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You say, listen, Aaron, I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with worry. I struggle with providing these things for myself. I don't want to do that anymore. How do I handle that? What do I do? Well, obviously, we've given you some application points, but just to kind of drive it home, we bring it to the Lord. We bring it to the provider who can provide all of our needs. Every part of us, not just little parts, but every part of you and me. And when we bring it to Him and we allow Him to do what only He can do, and then we thank Him for what He's done. When we thank Him for what He's done, we can also thank Him for what He's going to do. And when we have done those things, the peace of God can come down. It can be so great and make no sense because of the situations that we find ourselves in. And that peace will then guard our hearts and our minds. You see, so many of us will take this scripture and we'll try to move the dominoes around. You'll say, I want the peace in my heart and my mind, but I'm not willing to give up my control. I'm not willing to give up the fact that I'm not going to be the shepherd of my own life anymore. And then we go, why don't I have peace that guards my heart and my mind? You know, I've said this before, especially within scripture, order matters, folks. This is the inspired word of God. You don't think God understands the concept of order? It's in order for a reason. And so sometimes we need to go, listen, am I worrying? Because if I am, I'll never have peace that guards my heart and my mind. So what am I worried about? Well, let's just go this way. I'm worried about providing for my family. It's a good one, right? And so I'm worried about that. And so a lot of us, we just stay there in that worry. Or we try to be the provider for ourselves. So we work harder. We work longer hours. We do things to try to get noticed at work so that maybe we'll get that pay raise or whatever it might be. We're worried about who's doing this and who's doing that. You know, we're not rooting maybe our coworkers on because, you know, we're trying to get ahead of them. So if we have to step on their feet or their head to get up, then hey, that's just the world we live in, right? So we worry about so many things. And because we have that worry, we don't have peace. We don't have joy. We don't have grace. We don't have forgiveness. We don't have all the things that God basically tells us that He wants to give us. Well, some of us take that worry and then we say, you know what, instead of worrying about this and try to dealing with it myself, I think, you know what I'm going to do? And some of us, it takes a little time. I think I'm going to bring it to the provider. I think I'm going to bring it to Him. And we bring that need and we say, God, you know what, I things are expensive right now. Gas is expensive and groceries are expensive. And God, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how you're going to provide, but God, you provided in the past. You were faithful in the past. And so God, I thank you for that. And because you did it then, I believe you will take care of us now. And all of a sudden, the peace of God that passes all understanding begins to flow in our hearts, in our minds, and they guard us against those things. And we allow the provider to provide in multiple areas of our heart and in our life. We started this message by talking about this series is entitled, Our God Is, and not just simply, Our God Does. And though our God is our provider, He is Jehovah Jireh, our God is provision. He is all that you need. He is all that you will ever need. If you would, just so we can focus, let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. I want to start by just basically saying this. For some of us here, maybe some of us online, we have never allowed Jesus to be our supply or our Savior. You see, in the story that we talked about with Isaac and Abraham, you know, that ram, it says that its horns were caught in a thorn bush, a thicket kind of thing. It's almost like God knew the story that was going to come thousands of years later, because he did. And for you and for me, listen, I'd love to tell you, man, I'm Abraham. I'd love to tell you you're Abraham in that story, but you're not. You're Isaac. According to Scripture, the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, because of our falling short, because of our own rebellion, we deserve death. We deserve to be the one on that altar. But remember God's name, Jehovah Jireh. And the Lord provided someone to die in our place. You see, Jesus didn't just die for us, he died instead of us. And that ram is a symbol of Jesus that died for you and for me. And for some of us this morning, we need to allow God to provide for us the greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity. And that is the gift of a Savior, a gift of new life, eternal life that can only be found in him. You see, Scripture says that Jesus communicates, there's only one way. Only one way to the Father is through him. He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Some of us will try to get there through our works, through the things we've done. And I'm just going to tell you right now, it'll never be good enough. We can only experience it through the grace, the goodness, and the forgiveness of Jesus, to allow him to pay the penalty for us. So maybe for some of us, we need to let God provide salvation for us today. That today is the day where we allow him to be that greatest of providers for us. For others of us, maybe we need provision when it comes to financial areas or relational areas or physical areas or emotional areas. Listen, you get the picture. I don't know where you need God to provide for you. I just simply know that our God will provide for you. Now, here's the thing that you need to understand, okay? Because this is where we make our mistake. We kind of talked about it. Don't say, God, provide, and then start counting one Mississippi. We bring it to God. And in that scripture that we saw in Philippians, there was nothing there in that scripture that basically said, we're going to bring our needs to God, we're going to thank him for what he's done, and then he's going to just do it. It says, then he'll guard us until he does it, basically. Okay? Now here's the deal. Here's what you need to understand. Some of the things he's going to do, he will only do on the other side of eternity. You see, there's kids and there's people and there's adults that we pray for that are dealing with some physical issues. And it seems, hear me, it seems that God doesn't provide a healing. But I'm going to tell you this right now. When those individuals step over into eternity and they've experienced the new body that God has given, trust me, in that moment, they have had the greatest healing that has ever taken place. So healing will come, but it may come on the other side of eternity. And I know that may seem like, well, but why won't God heal me now? Because God knows better than you. You're a sheep. He's the shepherd. And we trust the shepherd. And trust me, the person that's experienced the greatest healing, they're good. They're in his presence. So we need to understand that God, the provider, is not God when I want it provided, provider. God knows, and he'll do it, listen, in just the right time. So when we trust God as provider and as provision, we also trust his timetable, knowing that his plans are perfect for us. So here's the deal. If you're under that first group and you say, you know what, I really need that salvation. I need God to do that in my heart and my life. Scripture is really clear. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, he'll save you of your sins. He will make you brand new. And so to allow that supply, to allow that provision to take place, that's what we do. We go to our Father and we say, you know what, Jesus, I've blown it. I haven't followed your laws or your commands. I've done it my own way. And oh, by the way, that's all of us. That's every single person. And you know what, God? I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. So I believe that you are the Lord of my life. I believe that you came to save me, that you died and you rose again. And I accept that grace and that forgiveness and that love. And when we do that, God says, you know what? You're adopted into my family. You're one of mine. All the sin, all that was as red as scarlet is white as snow. It's wiped away, and we belong to him. For others of us, we need to once again be persistent. We need to maybe bring that thing again, but we need to do it in a way where we need to check our posture and our proximity at the same time. Make sense? And we need to bring it again to the Lord and say, God, I trust that you will provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory. God, I believe that you have got me and that you will not let me go. And allow the God of provision to provide for you even today. Because I know he is able and willing to do that. So no matter where you're at, no matter how you need provision, as I pray with you and over you, will you pray? Will you call out to your provider and allow him to begin the process of providing and bringing peace to your heart and to your mind. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, you are so good and we're so thankful for all that you are and all that you do. And God, we are thankful that you literally are provision for us. Yes, you provide. That is what you do, but you are provision. And God, with that in mind, God, I pray that as we bring our needs before you, God, I ask that you would provide for us. For those that maybe for this, even this moment, they're just saying, you know what, God, I need salvation. I need that to be provided for me. That God, that they would come to you and begin to open their heart to you in that way. God, for those of us who need provision in maybe a physical or a mental or a financial, whatever it is, God, doesn't matter. God, you are our provider. And God, we bring that to you. But God, I do pray this, that as we bring those things to you, we would come with the right, correct posture, that you would draw us close to yourself, and that we would never give up going after your provision in our lives, in all areas. God, I thank you right now for what you have done in my life, and every individual here, every individual that's online. But God, right now, I also thank you for what you are going to do, because you aren't finished yet. And you still have great and mighty things that you're going to do in our hearts, in our lives, if we'll trust you and allow you to be our provider. So we give it to you. We trust you. And I ask, Father, that you would help us to follow you, follow your vision so that provision would follow us. We love you and we thank you. You're so good. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So listen, remember youth tonight. I hope that you have a great week. The ladies' book study is going to be starting up really, really soon. Ladies, please sign up. If you haven't, there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. I know a lot of ladies have. You're going to have a great study, I know, again. So if you have any questions on that, you can see Tammy or Emily, but it's going to be great. So awesome. So thank you so much for being here. For those who are online, man, we love you. We hope you're doing well. Have a great week. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.